Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you. We bless you. We glorify you in the name of Jesus. We honor you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, thank you for your truth. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have in this holy week of being able to congregate to hear your word. We praise you for it. And we give you all the glory this Holy Thursday. Amen. No tradition of man, no religion, no traditions of man, no paganism, but giving you all the glory with your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, due to Holy Week, from Sunday towards today, and in our midweek services, I've been giving a series titled Jesus, the Son of God. And the first subject is, who is that Jesus? The second subject was titled, Jesus, the Messiah, or the Anointed One, or the Christ. Today, we're going to see a subject in the form of a question. Is Jesus enough for you? Is Jesus enough for you? Well, many Christians, if you were to ask, they'd say yes. But through their actions, we can tell you that the average Christian, the Lord Jesus, is not enough for them. Amen. Well, as you know, I believe in prosperity, and I believe in healing, and I believe in biblical and financial prosperity, and I believe that the Lord wants us to have things. But I'll tell you something, I don't get depressed if I don't see the prosperity that I would like to see. If it weren't that I weren't seeing it, for years ago, Nubia and I were in situations where we were believing the Lord for things and we wouldn't see what we were believing for. The average person, especially in our area, very quickly gets depressed or gets sad if they don't see something that they're believing for. So the Lord Jesus then isn't enough. And we're going to see something here with the disciples. And there's a reason as to why what happened. And I mentioned it in our last session. And it was kind of like an introduction as to what we're going to be seeing today. Amen. Go with me. Where is this? John 14, I believe. Verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Notice verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father? Notice how he didn't say, Do you not believe that I am the Father? But he said, That I am in the Father. There's a lot of confusion when it comes to what the deity is, what the Apostle Paul called the deity. Other people call the Trinity. To understand it, a practical way is, I'll give you practical examples to explain something spiritual. Someone could ask, well, is this biblical? Well, yes, very biblical. The Lord Jesus used the parable of the seed, the parable of the sower, and spoke of seeds and spoke of different types of fields and types of earth. So he used an example in the natural to give understanding to something spiritual. Well, I'll give you an example. Than in the natural. When you speak of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there are people who do not believe that way, and etc. But it's there in the Bible. In this series, I'll speak a bit on the deity as well. But I'll give you a quick fast forward. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not necessarily three gods. It's one God, but manifests in three. Three people with the same nature, with the same essence, but different ways of operating. Amen. You understand that? Another example, or you're seeing me right here in my body. this would be my thank you, my left hand, and this is my right. I have to do it this way. I sometimes don't even know which one I write with. I'm right-hander, so right, left. Both are part of the body and their arms, but one has one function and the other another function. Because when the Lord Jesus spoke of the Father, the Lord Jesus did not pray to himself. Following along? Here we have a clear example. Notice how he said, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father?" He didn't say, "Do you not believe that I am the Father? And that the Father is me?" He didn't say that. He said, "And the Father in me." We'll study this further on ahead. "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me." Again, one more time. "The Father who dwells in me," to better explain this of the deity, "who dwells in me," not, he didn't say, saying that the Father is me and I am the Father, but the Father that dwells in me, he does all work. But notice how number 9, on verse 9, I'm not going to focus on verse 10 just yet, I'm going to focus on 9. And in verse 8, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." In other words, if you show us the Father, it is enough. You aren't enough for me. What's the reason then that he wasn't enough? That the Lord wasn't enough for them? We see that the Father and him were the same essence. The Spirit was God. But the disciples, as we've studied in other occasions, they didn't see the Lord. Sometimes they saw him as God. Sometimes they believed that he was God. But other times, they doubted and their hearts were hardened towards it. The easiest way in seeing this through the Bible, and I actually made a question in our last session, and it's fine. I used to believe the same way. I used to think, how tremendous if I would have been there with the Lord and seen the miracles. Man, what a nice thing to be able to see when the Lord told Lazarus. What did he tell Lazarus? Rise up and walk. That was to the daughter of Jairo. And then to Lazarus raising from the dead, etc. What tremendous thing to see. But then studying these things that I'm speaking now, and I'm going to speak later, I realized that it would have affected me, because what happened is the disciples were carnal. What does carnal mean? Guided by the five senses. So they would see the Lord. You have to have this in mind. The Lord Jesus came to the disciples. To this day, due to technology, if you can't go to Israel, you can see the temperature that there are during summertime. It's hotter than Phoenix. And with that, that's already enough if you've been to Phoenix before. And with desert and the heat there, they'd get sunburned, they get easily dirty, their hair was dirty. Perhaps he was preaching in different places, and as we studied that, his house was where? In Capernaum. Perhaps he couldn't return to his house to clean up, and he was sometimes without showering, and perhaps he smelled bad. I don't know, his clothes would get dirty with being outside. You get dirty here, right? Living in this area, imagine over there. And they'd see him in the natural. He says, "Show us the Father, and it will be sufficient to us." Their hearts were hardened. And we saw last time, and I would love to see all of tonight, the most possible. And I know I won't see it. It's not a bad confession. It's just there's just too much information. But we saw last time, in chapter 6 of Mark, before verse 45, the last verses, the Lord had done the miracle of feeding, the Bible says, 5,000 men, without counting women and children. If each man had brought his wife and his child, you multiply by 3, that's at least 15. Around 15,000 people then. And even with that, their hearts were hardened towards him. Mark 6:45. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone in the land. When he saw them straining and roaring, from the wind was against them. That in the Greek means that they were highly fearful. When he saw them walking on the sea, suppose it was a ghost. And I already told you this before, but when the disciples were here, he told them to go to the other side of the sea. This is in Galilee. At the time, the cold winds from the mountains would combine with the hot winds, and during those seasons, it would cause those storms. And the disciples of that region knew of those temperatures. Like some of you here, you were born and grew up here. Others, we came here, moved here, but we know now we won't be in strange that if one day suddenly it becomes during May, it becomes cloudy and we get hailstorms or maybe some snow. We're used to it now here in the county of Cochise. Well, they knew the temperatures and what would happen during that time of the year, and they were scared, but they obeyed the Lord and the force of the Lord, and that caused fear. They were seeing the circumstance because the wind was contrary to them, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when he saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. Notice, they thought he was a ghost. How hardened was their heart by this time, give or take by the chapters that we're in. I remember I one time I did an estimate by the chapters that Mark has. Around a year and a half, they were already with him. Or a bit more than a year and a half. Knowing the Lord, practically seeing him every day. And even with that, they didn't know him out of fear. And there are many things that we can learn from this. How you can forget in a moment everything that you know of faith if you set your sights on the circumstance. For they all saw him and were troubled. 50 says they were troubled when they saw him. That verse now in the New Living Translation. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid. He said, take courage. I am here. How is it possible that they didn't know him? And even with that, why would you have to be scared? There are people who have wanted to think perhaps and try to create logic saying, oh, well, they were in the sea and there was no light, no sunshine. They only had the lightning strikes from the storm and they didn't recognize them. But why would you have to be scared of that? Although if that were true. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. But this was out of doubt. Verse 52, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. I believe last time I mentioned how the Lord was marveled, correct? Two times. For some reason, I use this example. But here it's speaking of the disciples. So if you want to see it, the two times that the Lord was marveled or something of the sort. One of them is in Matthew 8. And that's where he was marveled or surprised for good. On the story of the centurion, I'll just read the last part. Verse 10, the last part. Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Oh, I have to explain this because it has to do with the... Well, what was happening here is this. One of the reasons that the body, the human body, the physical body of the Lord Jesus was apart from... Blood had to be drawn. They can't crucify your spirit. Another reason was to protect the presence of God. If they would have seen the presence of God, it would have killed them. The presence of God is too great. And no human being wouldn't have been able to tolerate the presence of God, and they would have died. The body was like a veil that covered that glory of God. I'll explain it in a moment. Matthew 8, verse 5. I'll explain it in a moment. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and the other, 'Come,' and he comes, and my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." But this is in... Why was he marveled? Why was the Lord marveled at this? Because the centurion wasn't asking for something physical to believe. And that's where the question comes in. Is Jesus enough for you? And perhaps I'm making the question and getting ahead of myself. But I want you to see something here in the Bible. My point is this. When people say, for example, "I believe I am healed," and in reality there's doubt because they're waiting to go to the doctor and they have an appointment in 2 weeks and they're waiting on the report of the doctor in about 2 weeks. And once the doctor says you're healed, then they're going to come and pass that testimony because it's Jesus and his word aren't enough for them. I know every time I say this, there's a great silence here, which is why I ask, is Jesus enough for you? I'm not saying that we shouldn't see manifestations eventually, but while you don't see the manifestation, what are you going to do? Is the word enough for you? For the disciples, the Lord, one more time, they sometimes doubted that he was God. They saw his natural side, his body. They wanted to see something tangible. Which is why Philip said, "Show us the Father." They were Jews. They knew the story, the law of Moses. And they had heard ever since their childhood the story of how God opened the Red Sea and how the people of Israel passed through there. They wanted to see something greater. Something great and glorious. And it wasn't enough for them. You'll be surprised that to this day, the millions of Christians that supposedly are around the whole world, for the grand majority of those millions, the Lord Jesus isn't enough. His word isn't enough. They want to feel God, which is why we even have songs of "Send Your Power" and or something of the sort, or "Make Me Feel Your Love" and things like that, because they don't go for the word. Jesus marveled at the centurion right there in Mark. We're going to see where he was surprised, but for something contrary. And in Mark 6 now, "Then Jesus went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that his mighty works are performed by his hands? It is not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph, and Judas? And are not his sisters here as well?' But they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could not do mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit.'" We're going to see a bit more on what I'm speaking here and what I mentioned a moment ago on the body and towards what we were seeing here, so you can understand. Go step by step here. In Exodus, chapter 33, Verse 20. I'll read this portion. Moses here speaking with God. The Lord told him. The Lord answered. But he said to him, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." Why did the Lord say this? Why did the Lord say this? A man can see me and not live. I just mentioned a moment ago. Because you can't support it. Especially all those people were spiritually dead. If the glory of God would have been manifest, they would have died right there. It wasn't because he hated them or God was too private or something like that. Go back there. In Exodus. All the way to chapter 19. I'll give you these foundations so you can understand what I'm talking about and what I'm going to be speaking in the rest of the time that I have left. Chapter 19, verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to you and believe for you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Now, let's read from verse 9. To verse 9 to 25. Begin to multimedia here. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, and that the people may hear me when I speak to you." So Moses told the words to the people, and the Lord said, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow." Notice, consecrate them. They had to see what? There had to be something visible that they could see, something that they could hear. If you have to see something or hear something from God to believe in Him and His Word, that's called being carnal. It's being guided by what? The five senses. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow." I believe I closed faster on my Bible. "And let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." In sight of all the people. Understand, my point is this. When we're reading this, he who reads understand. We're reading this. So you can ask this question. Is Jesus enough for you? Is he enough? When I refer to the Lord Jesus, I can't separate him from the word. Is the Lord enough? Is him and his word enough for you to believe what his promises say? Regardless of signs, regardless of prophecies, regardless if someone gives you a word or not, I believe in all of that. But I'm saying, if I have to believe waiting for someone to come and give me a word, a prophecy, then it's not faith. But if I seek the word, and someone comes and tells me something and tells me, "Brother Hughes, the Lord told me to tell you this," and it brings confirmation, glory to God. But what if nobody told me anything? What if nobody brought me a word of prophecy? What would I do? Would I doubt? The average Christian doesn't understand this. They seek signs and wonders, and they're going to move up until two cats pass through this way, the other way. Or if two dogs go through barking through their legs or something. They're seeking signs of God to speak to them through a cloud or something, or for a bird to perch on their shoulder, and God can do it. The Lord spoke to that prophet through a donkey. He could use a person or an animal or something. Nevertheless, if you're only waiting on that, then you're carnal and Jesus isn't enough for you. Amen. Thank you for two amens. Three, hallelujah. Going up. I tell you this to help you. Now, what verse was I on? Verse 12. "You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up on the mountains or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch it. touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or stoned with an arrow when man or beast. He shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. Now, was a God just killing them because they wanted to? No, the presence. And actually, through his mercy, he was saying, no, don't come near. My presence will kill you. Glory to God. You and I are born again, and his presence will not destroy us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, there's something I was going to explain, but I'm going to use up too much time. If I remember in another session, I'll explain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. It was the glory of God, the presence of God himself. But remember, this is to the people of Israel. In this time, no one had been born again. Everyone were a bunch of spiritually dead beings. You understanding? What am I saying? That same presence of God that we're reading here, so great, was contained, you understand, in the body, the physical body of flesh of the Lord Jesus. Now you understand. And Philip said, show us the Father. If the Lord in that moment would have been transformed, they would have all fallen dead, including Philip. You see it now. Do you understand? And Moses, 17, brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Am I screaming too much? Am I good? And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai, well, it's because a friend of mine. He recently received the Lord, and you know, he was still new, and he was listening. He said, hey, but you know why do you sometimes get mad? What are you referring to? Because you yell. I said, no, that's what happens to most all preachers. We raise our voice. Others less, others more, but it sometimes happens to us. Which is why I was laughing. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke descended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. All that voice, that trumpet sounded, was contained in our Lord Jesus. You see, we're going to see in this session Jesus our Lord. For many, it's just Jesus is their Savior, but not their Lord. The silence is so thick I could cut it with a knife. I mean, that's how it is when you say something that's uncomfortable. Moses spoke, and God answered him by saying, then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, the top of the mountain. And the Lord called to Moses, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people. They break the gaze of the Lord, and many of them perish. And let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, that the Lord break out against them. It was due to their sinful nature, not God just going against them. You see how contrary it is to today? Today, a sinner, a Christian who is covered in sin and lost, or a heathen, comes to the presence of God, they won't die. Because glory to God for the time that we live in, the grace of God. Oh, that means then that a Christian can be lost? No, it's the devil that'll kill you. And Moses? But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain are consecrated. Then the Lord said to him, away, get down, and then come up, etc. But now let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, let he break out against them? Was it because God was mad and wanted to punish them? No. It was because of their sinful nature, the satanic nature in them. They were people who were spiritually dead and the presence of God was too much. My point in saying all of this. Now go with me to Exodus 34. I said all of this to understand what was happening. Farther on ahead, we'll see. Exodus 34:27. Then the Lord said to Moses, write these things, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you, with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin on his face shone while he talked with him. Notice that the skin of his face shone. And when Moses and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, that they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him. But notice, Moses only reflected the glory of God, but he didn't have it in him. The Lord Jesus, the Bible tells him, that he is the same image of God. Go to Hebrews 1. You know that, correct? In the natural. Who is the one that shows that light? Sun, thank you. Did any of you go to school? The sun. The moon only reflects that light. That God in this case was the sun. And Moses was that loon. That moon, he reflected the light. Where am I? 34. No, but I told you Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 verse 3. One, two, and three. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Verse 3. Hebrews 1:1-3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, we just saw the other time under the law of Moses. What is known as the Old Testament, and even before the law of Moses, Genesis, and before the law, Genesis, Exodus. Under this time of the grace of God, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heirs of all things. Through him also he made the worlds, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express, notice, he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Hallelujah. 1:3 with the New Living Translation. The sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. The sun radiates just as the sun radiates that light. My Lord didn't reflect it. He radiates that light. Amen.
The word of God says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the questions section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and welcome to Word of Faith Ministries. We're all about sharing biblical, practical, and balanced teachings that you can trust. Through our teachings, special broadcasts, and live videos, we aim to spread the gospel far and wide. And if you share what we do, you're helping us reach even more people and keep this mission going. Thanks for being part of it. Hi, I'm Kayla, daughter of Pastors Ignacio and Novia Hughes from Word of Faith Ministries. And I want to highly recommend my spiritual grandfather, Kenneth Copeland's book, The Joy and Power of the Tithing Covenant. I have read it myself, and I can assure you, it explains in detail how the tithe is prevalent under grace. I encourage you to obtain a copy and see how it will change your mindset and free you from any doubt that you may have concerning the subject of the tithe. Please visit kcm.org to order it.
Well, that light, that glory of God, that presence was contained in his body. There was a moment that we've read it for in Matthew. Where is it? We saw it last time there. Help me. Was that you could scream over there, Pastor, in this verse. The disciples that you are. Or like Christians, either or. What is it? Thank you, Matthew. Transfiguration. Matthew 16:1. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to him, talking with him. Then Peter answered, said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, for Moses, for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly, suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This same story, we can see it in Mark 9. Why am I giving so much information? Make a point here. You can see it and understand it. What I'm referring to, the body of Christ dies daily due to lack of knowledge. People by millions die on this planet Earth. Speaking of Christians here, heathens don't have covenant with God. God loves them, but he doesn't have covenant with them. Verse 2. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, John, and led them up on a high mountain apart from themselves, and he was transfigured before them, his clothes becoming shining exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. What was happening here is that these disciples could see him, because one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit became manifest here, called discernment of spirit, and they were in the spirit. This is what I was going to tell you a moment ago of Moses. No one can in the natural, I'm going to fast like Moses so I can see the presence of God 40 days and 40 nights. Perhaps your body can handle 40 days, but you can't handle more than 3 days without drinking water. Amen. So why do we read this then? Because all of this happened in the spirit. Meaning in a literal way, Moses was literally in the presence of God. And that's what gave him strength. But it was for a specific use. Amen. Glory to God. But you can fast, glory to God. I know some of you, oh man, how good, because that a fasting shout out 40 days. Half a day and you're already shaky. Need to raise my blood pressure. I see blurry. It's your body. Just crying there. You can fast and drink water. Fasting and prayer. And then your body will get used to it. You can spend even 2 to 3 days. Some of you, because you have years, if you would have been heathens, you would have told me a few words after what I just said. But that will help you to stop being so carnal. But then, I could speak on it, but sometimes I want to sit down. But then, Sister Hughes here and Sister Sun will be that. Remember what I told you? Yeah, glory to God. I committed them in public. Now going back to the subject, that body was covering. The body of the Lord Jesus was covering the glory of God, covering everything that we just saw in the first covenant. But for them, it wasn't enough. So they were just used to seeing the Lord Jesus always in the natural. Sometimes they'd believe that he was the body of the Lord Jesus, that he was the Lord. Sometimes they didn't. That's why he asked, why do you have your heart so hardened? Now you'll see it better. We'll see another point here. But what happened after what we studied for years here? The Lord Jesus is about 3.5 years in ministry and then he was crucified. But we've studied in times past that he resurrected and appeared to the disciples. What happened? You can see how unbelieving they could be. And don't make fun of them because if we start seeing the circumstance, you and I can be just as unbelieving or more. Let's see something there in John 21. I've seen a lot of Bible today. If we're in John 21, this indicates then that the Lord had resurrected. And some of them had already seen him. John 21, the story had passed of when they had appeared to them, also mentioned in Luke. But here, I'm going to see an interesting part of the story. After this, Jesus manifested again to his disciples. Did I mention the verse? John 21. Verse 1. After these things, Simon, Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? No, notice something. They answered him, no, they didn't know it was Jesus. You spent with the man 3.5 years and you didn't even recognize his voice? They didn't know him. Why? Why, water? I'm going to let the Bible tell you in a moment. Have you any food? They answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast now, and they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, Why did he say it's the Lord? The beginning, it says right here, no one recognized this, and suddenly John said, it's the Lord. Why? Was that? Exactly. He remembered when he told Peter, cast your nets out into the sea. In other words, these people had to see something in the natural. In the natural, they had to hear, they had to remember something, because they didn't know him. But why? Well, I can tell you, but it's best if you see it in the Bible. But the other disciples, came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had on the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net of land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he has raised from the dead. We'll see now in another part of the Bible so you can start seeing. I'm taking you step by step. There is a reason why the Bible tells us in verse 4, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. There are people who try to reason this. There are people who try to reason, and theologists and in movies saying documentaries, oh, it's because due to his tunic, they didn't recognize him. Let's suppose that it were that way. Let's just suppose that it was of that moment, that he had a tunic on and he had a hat or something covering his head. He didn't recognize his voice. So it wasn't that. It wasn't of his tunic being covered, of his tunic covering him. He was dressed just like them. Perhaps there wasn't difference of the clothes that he used to have back then. We're speaking here after resurrection. Before resurrection, I just mentioned, I believe I mentioned two times at least, a moment ago, that his physical body, his natural physical body, was containing the glory of God. But now, he had resurrected, as we've studied in the past, in other occasions, in a glorified body. And it was the same disciple, carnal. If they couldn't see, and Jesus wasn't enough for them, when Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, was with them in that physical body, they sometimes doubted. Their hearts were hardened according to the circumstances. How much now, when he was with them in a glorified body? They didn't recognize him, and that's what happened. Which is why a carnal person, you think that I'm speaking of a key then? No. A carnal Christian does not understand to a spiritual disciple. Are you understanding? A cardinal Christian does not understand a spiritual disciple. You see, a normal church, including perhaps it could happen here between some of you, I don't know how many. If I tell you tonight, my wife and I are going to give $20,000 in the offering. You're all crazy. That's a carnal person. A carnal Christian, the only difference of being a heathen is the spirit, which their spirit has been born again. But the carnal Christian acts just like the world. In the five senses, the things of God are not important to them. They're crazy. To another part here so you can see this. I want you to see this. I told you, I want the Bible to show you. Matthew 18. Verse 16. This was all after resurrection. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. We saw in John, now this is Matthew, showing his version of it. Now let's go to Luke. See how some doubted? Some of them still doubted. They still doubted. Remember that in the book of Acts, it says that the Lord, after being resurrected, was on the earth for how long? Thank you. Thank you, sister. Glory to God. 40 days and 40 nights. And that time he appeared many times, and the disciples still doubted. They couldn't comprehend because they still saw things. The flesh. Glory to God that the Lord, I don't know, he didn't get mad with them or something and said, I'm going to start the church with other people because you guys are way too carnal or something like that. Praise the Lord. But if you notice, we were in Matthew 18. When they saw him, they praised him, but some doubted. And in 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. 19. This is such an important subject as well. I'm still in Matthew 28. Verse 19. Therefore, and go and make disciples. Following along? Didn't lose your spot? And when Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. 19, that go therefore and make disciples. That's the point. Another point of confusion. 90% of what I speak is contrary to what the majority of churches speak. Jesus never said, go and make converted ones. Now, so you're supposed to, you know what's supposed to happen here? Thank you, it's okay, well, have at it. Supposedly here, when the body of Christ started reuniting and started learning of the Word of God more and more, a disciple, the word disciple literally means a studier of the Word. That's what a disciple is, a studier. So if you study, that indicates then that someone teaches and a disciple learns. But he learns for what? Just for them to know how to hear their own bodies, how to use their faith to have houses, cars, and things? In part, yes, but it's not everything. Turns out that disciple, when the churches of that time started, it wasn't the pastors that filled the churches. It was the sheep, the disciples multiplied. It was the same disciple that didn't go and run with the pastor saying, pastor, come and pray for so-and-so. But more so the person instructed them. And they prayed. And they raised the people from the dead. They prayed for someone else. They laid hands. And the other person received baptism of the Holy Spirit. They explained. They took care of them. They protected them. They took them to church up until that believer started maturing, and then that believer brought someone else. That's how it's supposed to be. You think God changed? No. You know what the excuse of nowadays is? And I've heard it a lot. In churches. Or speaking with pastors. With people here as well. One told me in a church, oh, well, the pastor wants us to bring people, but we barely even come here. Ha 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 ha. And oh God. What kind disciples? The Lord must have used a lot of faith to say that, saying, go and make disciples. I don't know if the Lord was saying, go and make disciples, and then scratching his head and saying, my God. Oh, there's nothing else. Luke 48. So good. Hey, remember I told you. Oh, man. Luke what? Luke 24 what? Luke 24. Verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now before continuing. How many of you think that tonight, I just told you, go to this place and go to this other place just to give you a walkthrough of the Bible? No. Oh, how kind Brother Hughes, he gave us a quick walkthrough of the Bible. I want you to understand something and see something. According to the subject, is this enough for you? Is the word enough for you? Verse 14, and they talked together of all things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Remember what I told you? I was going to let the Bible here show you. But their eyes were restrained. Their eyes were as if to have a veil on them. The Living Translation. But God kept them from recognizing them. All with the New Living Translation being good translation, that's not true. It was their unbelief. It was their hardness of heart. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is that? Is this that you have with one another and as you walk and are sad? Why are you sad? Why are you sad? Exactly. The Lord said, why are you sad? What was the Lord referring to that with that question? If they would have believed, how many times did he not tell them, glory to God, it is necessary for the Son of Man to die and resurrect on the third day? Remember? They doubted things. Some things they believed, others they didn't, depending on the circumstance. Just as many Christians, glory to God, all is fine, hallelujah, up until an issue comes. Thank you for one amen. Thank you for an honest person. Thank you for an amen and a one head shake over there. Are you asking for the ministry of blankets? Are you cold? Well, deal with it, because I'm very comfortable right now. Now, notice here. Yeah, because then I'm here under these lights, and then I start smelling like pastor tacos. Verse 18. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? What happened? They didn't recognize him. Then he said to them, what things? You know, he was like acting as if he didn't know. Like trying to test them out here. And I'll sometimes ask you things to see, you know, like what do you know? Or what brand new thing you're going to come up with now. And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Duh, why do you think they were sometimes referred to as the disciples? Following along? They said to them, what things? The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and a word before God and all the people. That's all they believed in him. Right there, they were seeing what they believed of him. Just as many people in this world, that's it. Jesus is just a good prophet, glory to God. But they didn't see him as the Son of the living God. as the same Emmanuel God with us. Wasn't enough for them. And how the chief priests, they just recognized he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, because they remembered of the miracles, of the healings, and of the teachings. But that's it. That's all that was left. Verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us between their group. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, oh, my kind children, I understand what you're going through. Huh? Did he say that? Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things? The Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And notice, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What did the Lord do here? What did he do here, brothers and sisters? He took them to where? To the Word. He took them to the Word. The Word is what produces faith. He took them to the Word. Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus and his Word enough? When it says, and by his stripes we were healed. Is it enough for you, or do you have to hear it from a vision or from an angel? I believe in all those things, and we've spoken on them. And marvelous things have happened to me, glory to God. But I don't live by them. I live by the Word. And if they come, I enjoy them, glory to God. But his Word is enough. Hallelujah. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in the stray with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave to them. Then their eyes were opened. Notice here, verse 16. Which eyes? Not the natural eyes. This is their spiritual eyes. Again, notice the way that the Lord works. There was unbelief, which is why all that unbelief, that doubt, he removed them, took them to the Word, and the Word produced faith. Hallelujah. 31, then their eyes were opened. Why? Because the Lord took them from the scriptures. They didn't have a Bible like this one, which is why you and I have an advantage. Which is why I asked you Tuesday evening, how many of you would have liked to have seen the Lord? And some of you were honest. Some of you raised your hand, and that's fine. I thought that years ago. But after I realized, no, I would not want to be like these disciples. But now we have the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit gives us life, gives us light, gives us life with the Word. And the Holy Spirit helps to where these scriptures come alive in us. Glory to God. I never said the Holy Spirit will obligate you to believe. He will help you. Glory to God. This is so good. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? When did their heart burn? When he started telling them from the law of Moses, because again, they did not have anything else. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. This is faith. When you stay with the word and say, by his stripes I was healed. Now comes confession of the word. When you believe it, when you confess it, you confess it because you believe it. You don't confess for something to come to pass. You confess what is, what the word already says, by his stripes I was healed, glory to God. They're not just confessions so that God can do something. Well, I'm confessing the word so that God can do something in my life, so that God can bless me, so that God can move, as if God is stuck, so that God can do this. No, you're confessing what is, glory to God. And when you confess what is, it's an act. You start believing this and you start releasing power through your mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You start releasing the word. You don't make stupid confessions anymore so that God can do something, or so that God can see that I'm confessing the word, Brother Hughes. Those are dead works. It's nonsense. And there's no faith. Yeah, forgive me, the joy wins me over sometimes. Now, if you could see all your faces from here, Christ lives. Oh, Christ is coming. That's the power of confession. Not just, oh, here I am confessing, Brother Hughes. So that God can come down and put a little star on your forehead because you did 500 confessions. Little star on your forehead. Or he can give you a big kiss. Leave you a giant mark. Oh, what is that? Oh, it's a kiss from God because I made my confessions. Oh, do we not believe in confession? I am the chief in confession. I brought confession here to this area. What? Oh, you're so prideful. Who do you think he is? I was the one that brought this here. I give glory to God. He sent me. But no one spoke of that. Those of you here, of who were born here, grew up here, have years spent here, you knew that you didn't just declare the word. You didn't just speak the word. It was just begging God. God, help us. Lord, help us to feel your presence. Send your power. Give us more power. This was spoken in the churches. It was just begging God and just songs of death. Just once a day, my Lord. Once a day. That's all I ask of you. Help us today. Help me today. I want to live another day. You'd even cry with that song. You remember. Yesterday passed, my God. You remember. I was also in those types of churches, so I know. Help me today. I want to live another time of the day. You know it's true. But the difference is when you confess something with confidence, it's mine. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I am healed, although that illness is right there, although the doctor tells you have 3 months to live. But you're in the word. You renew your mind. You go to the scriptures, although you may know it from memory. This isn't just memory. It's from here, from the spirit. You go to the Bible. You read it again. You see it on you write it down on a piece of paper. You put a post-it note in your bathroom, in your fridge, especially the fridge. You put everywhere the promises and you're seeing them, you're speaking them, renewing your mind, removing all doubt, all unbelief, sowing into the kingdom. Amen. Glory to God. Because of you, I got emotional and I lost my place here. Man, this is so good, isn't it? Verse 33. And they said to one another, did our heart burn within us while he talked us with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us. So they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 who were there, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Right there, that's it. Oh yeah, yeah, it is the Lord. Didn't you notice how he grabbed the knife? Again, just carnal things. That's what I'm referring to. And many Christians are like that. Up until God doesn't speak to me through a word of prophecy. Up until God, I don't feel his presence. Up until then, I won't believe. That's being carnal. Up until I don't have a word, I won't believe. That's being carnal. First Thessalonians 5. Oh man, that's so much Bible, Brother Hughes. Oh, we're giving you Bible. Some of you can barely even make it. Imagine without it. Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, "Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God." So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." So when a person is constantly fed with the word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, "Oh, I don't have," or "I can't." That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, "Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow." Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again. And we've experienced it time and time again. Time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true, and thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you and we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And he wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.